Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. We will be going to your calls a little later on in the program. I want to spend just a few moments, however, talking about Privileged Species. This is the DVD that we want to put into your hands all this month for your support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and its ministry outreaches around the world. I have become hugely enamored with Privileged Species. I've watched it many times now, and each time it informs me so that I can be better prepared to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within me, with gentleness and with respect. If you do not have Privileged Species, you want to get a hold of it. It is in the same genre as Privileged Planet, in the sense that we live in a privileged planet. Many people today want to say that we are an insignificant planet. The evidence, however, points in a different direction. The same thing is true with respect to human beings. We are said to be little different from animals. In fact, neo-Darwinians like Richard Dawkins believe that human beings are no more intrinsically valuable than bananas. Think about the implications of that kind of thinking. Well, we can curse the darkness, or we can build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. And that is precisely what I believe Privileged Species to be. I think it's transcendently important, not only for you, for your kids as well, and also for your grandkids. It is a tremendous tool. It's only 33 minutes long, but when you get done listening to it, you will be motivated to listen to it again. Again, 33 minutes long. It answers the question, are humans the accidental products of a blind and uncaring universe, as so many today are saying we are? Or are we the beneficiaries of a cosmic order that was planned beforehand to help us flourish? So much in this DVD that will equip and encourage you. Again, available when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also acquire your copy on the web in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org, or you can pick up the telephone, talk to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We have the pleasure now of hosting for a few moments Dr. John West. He is Vice President, Senior Fellow at the Seattle-based Discovery Institute, where he also serves as Associate Director of the Institute's Center for Science and Culture. His current research examines the impact of science and scientism on public policy and culture. And he is the writer and the director behind this film. So he's the man behind the scenes. The film, again, Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life. John, good to have you on the broadcast.
Hank, thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
This is an absolutely stunning piece of work. What led you to create a piece of work of this caliber on this particular subject?
Well, you know, I'd like to take credit for it, but really the inspiration was geneticist Michael Denton, who I know you've had on your show. I heard a lecture by him a few years ago. He's one of our fellows. We brought him out from Australia, and he talked about all these things that most of us, I know, that I don't usually even think about, like water every time I drink it, or oxygen that we breathe, all these things that are just right. I mean, some people have called it that we live in the Goldilocks universe, that so many things are just right. If they're just this tiny bit different, life, not just life as we know it, life wouldn't be possible. And large, multicellular, complicated beings with brains like humans wouldn't be possible. And so I was just enthralled by this lecture, and it made me want to do something to bring it to a wider audience.
You are involved in an institute that practices open-minded science, and I want you to elaborate on that. There are so many people in our culture today who have closed minds. They think that philosophical naturalism can explain everything. You're saying if people have a truly open mind, they'll allow for both natural as well as supernatural explanations for what they encounter in the universe.
Yeah, we believe in the old adage, following the argument or follow the evidence where it leads. And I think, and one of the things I appreciate about your ministry is, in fact, the way you teach people to think critically and thoughtfully and discerningly. And I think Christians are called to do that. Unfortunately, even a lot of Christians in the sciences, basically, you know, whatever they hear or whatever they read, they sort of think, well, that's just the way it is. And that's not always the case. They need to have inquiring minds and ask tough questions. And so, yeah, that is something we're all about. And I think one of the big things is we get from our culture that all this evidence supposedly points to that we're just blind, purposeless processes that brought us about. And that is so far from the truth. I mean, that's the inversion of the truth. And again, what Michael Denton brings out and what this film tried to bring out, it's things that you might not even think about, like water or oxygen. I mean, mind-blowing here, and maybe Michael Denton has already talked about this on your show, but oxygen, if it were just a little bit different, you go out the door and everything would be on fire. If we had just a little bit more oxygen in our atmosphere, there would just be fire all the time. And then if there was just a little bit less, large beings like us couldn't exist because we need a lot of oxygen in order to produce the energy to make our bodies work.
Speak for a moment to the perpetuation of a false dichotomy in our culture between faith and reason.
Oh, where to get started on that? And again, so many Christians tend to think that they go to church on Sundays, they read their Bible, and then they go out into the world either as doctors or scientists or in politics or in education, and somehow those are just separate realms. But in fact, they're not. And one of the things about the Christian tradition going back to the very beginning, going back to things like Romans 1, is that God is the author of all truth. And so these are not separate realms, and I'd say nature properly understood, and then the Bible and special divine revelation, they go together. And so, yeah.
Interlocking, overlapping domains.
Exactly. And I think Christians really shouldn't cede that. I mean, sometimes I think Christians, we get defensive and think that, well, you know, we just want to have faith understood as sort of blind faith, and you know, we don't want to trust in our reason. Yes, we're sinful. I get that. But God is the author of everything, and so it makes sense that you would expect that the evidence of nature would point in the same direction, and we shouldn't fear that, and we certainly don't need to bury our heads in the sand, and we don't need to be so defensive. I mean, last year, many of your listeners may have listened to or watched part of the Cosmos series, the rebooted version with astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson. Well, I mean, the amount of propaganda that was in there, and bad science, was just incredible. We need to be discerning. We don't need to be afraid about what's out there. I mean, there's really good news about the facts of nature and how much they point against this materialist paradigm that we've been sold.
The narrative in our culture, you talk about narratives, we find them all over the place, and in a politically correct culture. We're always told to follow the narrative, or at least the instructions point in that direction. The narrative in our culture is probably best communicated by Bill Nye, the science guy, and you actually feature this in Privileged Species. Let me play it, and then I want you to discuss this for a moment, because according to this narrative, we're not a privileged species, but you believe that the universe seems to have been designed specifically for human life. Let's listen to Bill Nye.
I am just another speck of sand. And the Earth, really, in the cosmic scheme of things, is another speck. And the Sun, an unremarkable star, nothing special about the Sun. The Sun is another speck. And the galaxy is a speck. I'm a speck on a speck, orbiting a speck, among other specks, among still other specks, in the middle of specklessness. I suck.
So you, Dr. West, would say that's absolute nonsense. The universe is designed for human life.
It is absolute nonsense, and one reason why I wanted to start the film with that is because that just really verbalizes the sort of junk science garbage that our kids get, for one thing. Although Bill Nye hasn't been on, you know, TV for a long time, I know my kids, when they're in elementary school, got subjected to DVDs of him, and so, you know, he's looked up to, yet he's just spewing stuff that's just, I mean, absolute scientific garbage. Now, I want to make clear, things are designed for life, and then there are things, and we do press the envelope to suggest that there are specific things that seem to be designed for things like us, large multicellular beings, and just a few things that we talk about in the film, and there's many more things in the writings of Michael Denton that he's brought out. I mean, obviously our brain, but simple things that people might not think about that really aren't simple, but that our larynx. It allows us to make complicated sounds to give rise to complicated vocabulary and sophisticated language. If our larynx wasn't built in the way it was, it really isn't easy to conceive of us having complicated language. We're the only animal that we know of that has the capacity to harness the use of fire, which gave rise to technology of all sorts. And that deals with how our hands operate and some other things. Our hands, for example, also are much better able to manipulate the environment than any other animal. So, I mean, there are lots of things that, again, that every day we experience that we sometimes don't think about that are really definitely unique. And then, again, things like water and some of these other things that are created, they're not just good for little multicellular things. They are, which can exist without some of the characteristics that Mike Denton talks about, but large multicellular beings, like human beings, can't exist without those things.
I just love the way this DVD presses home the reality that the universe was, as you just pointed out so eloquently, preordained for human life. But not only that, all the evidence points towards the fact that we live on a planet that actually allows us to fulfill our true potential. And then, as you just mentioned, from a scientific perspective, even human form is deeply significant. We deeply appreciate your contribution. This film is going to make a huge difference. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being willing to draw attention to it. And I'd encourage people to use it with their kids, like you said, also in their small groups. One reason it's short is to allow for discussion. To open, you know, this is a great discussion opener for your friends and you know, people who may not think about these things.
God bless you, my friend. Appreciate having you on the broadcast, and we had a great time with Dr. Michael Denton yesterday as well.
Great. Well, again, thank you for having me.
It is our pleasure, Dr. John West. Again, he is vice president, senior fellow at the Seattle-based Discovery Institute, and he is the writer and director of the film Privileged Species. You don't want to miss it. How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Again, the copy available on the web at equip.org. You can order there in a safe, secure fashion, equip.org, or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants available, so you can procure your copy via the phone lines, 888-7000. And the letters CRI, again, the DVD available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and our outreaches around the world. When you give, you are making a difference not only for time, but also for eternity. The lives of literally hundreds of thousands of people are being touched by those who stand shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach in the battle for life and truth. Back with answers to your questions in just a few moments.
In the new documentary film, Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life, you'll discover the special properties of carbon, water, and oxygen that make life possible, and explore unique features of humans that make us a truly privileged species. Hank Hanegraaff says this enjoyable and persuasive high-quality film presents scientific discoveries, not mere conjecture, that point overwhelmingly to an ultra-fine-tuned universe as the handiwork of a super intellect. Anyone watching will know there is a creator. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our thanks for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Bill Nye, the science guy, professes, "I'm insignificant. I'm just a speck of sand. And the Earth is another speck. The Sun is another speck, and the galaxy another speck. I'm just a speck on a speck orbiting a speck among other specks in the middle of specklessness. I suck." Well, far from being insignificant, what the scientific evidence really suggests is that human life is the intended outcome of exquisitely fine-tuned parameters in the physics and chemistry of our universe. All this is explained in Discovery Institute's documentary film, Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to help equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Jihadists fighting for the Islamic State have been committing a range of systematic abuses, including mass executions, rape, seizing of property, and the destruction of churches and mosques. While ISIS claims that they are simply obeying Allah and Muhammad, many Westerners and Muslims maintain that such atrocities are strictly forbidden in Islam. Who is right? Other topics include Paul, Second Adam, and theistic evolution, unpacking anime's spiritual depth, what has art to do with evangelism, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Steven Weinberg, a Nobel laureate, high-energy physicist, and avowed skeptic, has commented, "Life as we know it would be impossible if any one of several physical quantities had slightly different values. Far from being insignificant, the scientific evidence suggests that human life is the intended outcome of exquisitely fine-tuned parameters in the physics and chemistry of our universe. All this is clearly explained in the new documentary film, Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life." To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our thank you for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to further CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we go right to our phone callers. A lot of you hanging on. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK, Hank, translates to 888-275-4265. First up is Roger, listening in Modesto, California, on Bot Radio. Hi, Roger. Hello, Roger. I guess Roger isn't there. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Montgomery. Montgomery's listening in Columbia, South Carolina, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Montgomery.
Hello, how you doing, Mr. Hanegraaff?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Thanks for having me. I've been trying to get in touch with you for a long time now. I listen to your show almost every day. I thank you for all you do, I want to say, too. My question is, I think it's a very important one. I'm trying to figure out which church to join, and I have Mormons that come to my house, and they come frequently, and they talk about the 12 apostles, and that when they died, when they left the earth, that no one else was really given the priesthood authority to do such things as baptisms and, you know, just a lot of things that a lot of churches that these days do. So they feel like their church is the only church to that has the authority to do these things. And what I want to know is if that's true or not.
Well, first of all, I think that you have to recognize that there is no new apostolic authority in the world today that replaces the authority of the prophets in the Old Testament and the apostles in the New Testament. In fact, God himself set the conditions by which new revelations, like the kinds of revelations we're receiving through organizations such as Mormonism, must be ratified. And that is confirmation by those who were eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And therefore, with the death of the apostles, there can be no new revelations, much less the kind of new revelation you find in Mormonism, which compromises, confuses, or outright contradicts the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Now, as far as baptism is concerned, baptism is what happens to someone who believes. It is the first act of obedience. And through baptism, what the believer is saying is that I am identifying visibly with the body of Christ, and it becomes a means by which grace is imparted to the soul of the believer, so that they can, in fact, not only live a changed life, but an exchanged life. Now, that happens within a community of believers that are living stones in the temple of God. It doesn't happen because someone has the apostolic mantle passed on to them, because the apostolic mantle cannot be passed on.
So it can't be passed on?
No, the apostolic mantle cannot be passed on to people in this generation, nor could it be passed on through the generations. The foundation of the Christian church is built, as it were, on the back of the prophets and the apostles and Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. That foundation has already been laid, and it has not been relaid in the present, and therefore there is no such thing as a modern-day prophet or a modern-day apostle. There is in the sense of a church planter, there is in the sense of someone who foretells, in other words, encourages, edifies, and equips the church, but not in the sense of someone who can foretell the future or someone who has the same kind of authority as that which was manifested by the biblical apostles.
So you're saying that Joseph, so what they tell me about Joseph Smith, I'm pretty sure you've heard of him, and what you're saying about him going into the wilderness and being appointed and given that authority, so that's not true.
Well, no, it's not true. And, you know, what he has done is he has directly contradicted the Word of God, and he has substituted for the Word of God the Book of Mormon, which is considered by Mormonism to be the most correct of any book on earth, and it is the keystone to their religion. But the problem with that is multifaceted, including the fact that the Book of Mormon has been utterly discredited through not only archaeology, but through anthropology as well. And then you look at the kinds of things that Joseph Smith taught. He taught that God himself was once as we are now, and that he's an exalted man and sits enthroned in yonder heaven. So what you have here is Mormonism holding to a plurality of gods and contending that as man is, God once was, and as God is, we may become. Now, we certainly can take on the energies of God, but we cannot in any way take on the essence of God. And in the view of the Latter-day Saints, you have a compromise of the nature of Jesus Christ. You have a compromise of the core values and principles that are given to us in the infallible repository for redemptive revelation, namely the Word of God.
Okay, I'm my only thing is I've asked a whole bunch of other people about this, and I was waiting to ask you. And see, the thing is, the Mormons, it's two young ladies that come by and see me all the time, and they seem just like Christians, in a sense to me. The only thing that differentiates them is the fact that they feel like Joseph Smith was given authority, but everything else is the same.
No, it isn't the same. The point I'm making is that Mormonism compromises, confuses, and outright contradicts the essentials of the historic Christian faith. When you say in Mormonism that God was once a man like you and I, you are directly contradicting the Scriptures. The Scriptures make plain that the chasm between humanity and deity is a chasm that cannot in any way be bridged with Mormon rhetoric.
Oh, okay. So as far as Jesus Christ, because I hear you talk about your book, incarnation, a lot. So Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God are three separate entities?
No, what the Bible teaches is that there is one God by nature or essence. The Bible also teaches that Jesus is God, that the Father is God, that the Holy Spirit is God, and that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. So when the Bible speaks about the essence of God, it speaks about God as one. When it talks about relationships within the Godhead, it is describing subject-object relationships, identity formed and completed on the basis of relationships within the Godhead. So what the Bible is teaching is something that we apprehend. It's not something that we can fully comprehend. And therefore, if you can demonstrate that the Bible is a reliable source, what you end up doing is bowing your knee before God's revelation of himself to you. Now, if the Bible were saying that there's one God and there's three gods, that would be an obvious contradiction. But in essence, what the Bible is teaching is that there's one what and three whos. There's one God by nature or essence, and three in terms of subject-object distinctions within the Godhead. Again, this is beyond my ken to fully comprehend, but I'm but finite. God is infinite. And again, we bow our knee before God's self-revelation as opposed to making it up as we go along. And I have to leave it at that. I've written about that in various places. Something that would be helpful to you is the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, which addresses that question. Let's try Roger again, Modesto, California, listening on Bot Radio. Hi.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call again.
My pleasure.
I think it's quick. I have a friend who's a Roman Catholic, and we talk often. And one thing he was, we got on the subject of sola scriptura, and basically he was saying that that for us to believe in sola scriptura is that we have to believe in the sufficiency of scripture alone, which I do. But then he said that in order for us to know what scripture is, we have to use the canon, because scripture does not, and scripture does not define what the canon is. And so I'm not sure really how to respond to him with that, because he's saying that scripture in itself isn't sufficient, that it's insufficient, because we need the canon to be able to define what scripture is.
Well, I wouldn't put it exactly like that, because I think it's fair to say that the scripture or the canon is not defined by humanity. It's only discovered by humanity, which is to say that it is ultimately defined by God. And if you can demonstrate that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin, then you can trust the words of God, because God alone is the one that can authenticate that which is true and that which is false. Now, as a Christian, I have a great respect for the tradition of church history, for the community of faith. And so I don't negate them, nor do I make them marginalized in any sense. I have a high regard for that. The problem, however, is that church tradition, particularly within Roman Catholicism, has changed. And the changes are quite substantial. Over the years, these changes have taken place. And as a result of that, what once was the tradition of the church has now been changed into a new tradition. For example, the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, which asserts that from the first moment of her conception, Mary was by the singular grace and privilege of God, and in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, Savior of mankind, kept free from all stain of original sin. Now, that idea of the Immaculate Conception is a brand new 19th century dogma initiated by Pope Pius IX. So it is a dogma that the church didn't hold to before, but now holds to. So their tradition is in flux. But if you test that tradition in light of Scripture, you find that it falls flat. Many other examples could be given, but ultimately, the Bible constantly warns us not to go beyond what is written. And Jesus himself rebuked the Pharisees for not accepting the Bible and for rejecting that as the standard by which you test all things and hold fast to that which is good. Much more could be said. Running out of time. Coming up to station break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
10 raised to the power of 120 is an incomprehensibly large number. That's the number 1 followed by 120 zeros. In fact, that number is vastly greater than the total number of atoms in the entire universe. But remarkably, if the energy of the Big Bang were different by just one part in 10 to the 120th power, life would not exist in the universe. The new documentary film, Privileged Species: How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life, presents scientific discoveries pointing to an ultra-fine-tuned universe that is the handiwork of a super-intellect. To
To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to invest in the work of CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back with more. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. A growing number of evangelicals are accepting theistic evolution without considering the weight of biblical and theological evidence against evolutionary theory. The Apostle Paul's analogy between Christ and Adam in Romans 5 is central to Christian soteriology, yet it does not seem compatible with an evolutionary theory of common descent, whether naturalistic or theistic. Other topics include, will the real Islam please stand up? Did ancient extraterrestrials visit Earth? The Torah, God's Word, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The widely quoted astrophysicist Michael Turner once commented on the remarkable fine-tuning of the universe with a smile. He said, "The precision is as if one could throw a dart across the entire universe and hit a bullseye 1 millimeter in diameter on the other side." Far from being insignificant, we are indeed a remarkably privileged species. The new documentary film, Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life, investigates the special properties of carbon, water, and oxygen that make life possible. And it explores unique features of humans that make us a truly privileged species. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our thank you for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to further CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes, or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Are humans the accidental products of a blind and uncaring universe? Or are they the beneficiaries of a cosmic order that was planned beforehand to help them flourish? Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life is a new documentary film that explores growing evidence from physics, chemistry, and biology that our universe is exquisitely fine-tuned to support intelligent beings like ourselves. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And in addition to Privileged Species, we have Privileged Planet. If you haven't seen that DVD, I mean, it is an absolute must. You cannot miss it. So you'd want to check the web for that one as well. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Mike in Alberta, Canada, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mike.
Hank, how are you doing?
I'm good. Good talking to you.
Right on. That's good to hear. Yeah,
Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I listen to you all the time, and I agree with you pretty much quite a bit. Some things I don't, but that's no big deal. But I'd just like to know, what do you think on the Roman Church, the Roman Catholic Church, or doctrines like Immaculate Conception and the papacy and there's only salvation in the Catholic Church? Do you think it's a false doctrine and a false church?
Well, I mean, I would disagree with the things that you just mentioned. I don't agree with the notion of purgatory. I think that purgatory, drawn to its logical conclusion, denies the sufficiency of Christ's atonement on the cross. I also do not agree, as I mentioned in an earlier segment, I don't agree with the notion of the Immaculate Conception of Mary, the idea that she was born without the stain of original sin. I think that's simply false. And as I mentioned previously, this is a dogma which is very, very new in history. It's a 19th century idea. But within Roman Catholicism, when the Pope speaks ex cathedra or from the chair, then the Church is now bound by his teachings. And if his teachings contradict what was taught before, it's a problem for Roman Catholicism, but it's a bigger problem if it is contradicted by Scripture itself. And I think that essentially is the problem. So I think the Roman Catholic Church is a true church, but has significant error.
Oh, okay. Do you have a book out on it or not?
We do have some books available on Roman Catholicism. You can find them on the web at equip.org.
Okay, well, that's all I wanted to know then.
Well, bless you.
Thanks very much, Jeff.
Have a blessed day, and thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Ron next. He's in Middleborough, Massachusetts. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
Quick background, if I may.
Sure.
I'm a former Roman Catholic, now a born-again biblical Christian fundamentalist. My question has to do was a prophecy that I found out that has not been fulfilled. At least I believe it hasn't. It's in Jeremiah 51:26, and it says this, they will not take from you even a stone for a corner nor a stone for a foundation, but you will be desolate forever, declares the Lord, talking about the old city of Babylon. Now that prophecy has not come true, I should say, in either of the two points, because I know for a fact that several of the stones have been used to build the city of Baghdad and also almost the whole city of Havilah. And the other part where it says that you shall be desolate forever, as we speak, there's two villages in the old city with about 200 to 250 people on that. Now, what is your take on that?
Well, I think you're trying to press the language into a wooden literal labyrinth from which nothing but nonsense can emerge. What the basic idea in Scripture in terms of the prophecies regarding Babylon have always been is that it would fall from its lofty perch as the golden head of the nations. And from Nebuchadnezzar's death to Belshazzar's demise, Babylon was in disarray. And therefore, the most improbable of prophecies, at least in that time frame, came to pass. Media, as inferior as silver is to gold, became dominant in the ancient world. And with the ascendancy of the Medes, the prophetic words of the prophets began to take on an ominous and foreboding reality. The Lord stirred up the kings of the Medes because his purpose was to destroy Babylon, and that is precisely what happened. So if you look at the prophecies are saying that it would fall and it would never regain its former prestige, its power, and position as ruler among the nations of the world. Certainly,
so you don't take that as to mean that the city itself would never be inhabited again?
Of course not. And certainly there have been inhabitants there. In a war with the Persians, for example, Julian continued the fulfillment of the prophecy in the sense that the destruction of the walls was even more complete, and I still wouldn't want to press it into a wooden literal labyrinth, but he used those stones as protection for the Persian army. And after conquering the world, Alexander the Great decided he would rebuild Babylon. But even though he started the process, he could never really finish it because he died within a very short period of time. But certainly the intent of the prophecy is to say that it would never arise to its lofty perch as the golden head of the nations.
Try this out, though. I just found this out last week. The UN and the United States are rebuilding, as we speak, the old city. Now, I don't know if they're going to rebuild it totally, but the UN wants to have their headquarters in the old city at some point.
Well, I mean, there's been a lot of stories like that. I mean, remember the time of Saddam Hussein. When he took the reins of power in Iraq in 1979, he attempted to rebuild Babylon as well. There's constant attempts, but the point is, Babylon is not going to become the golden head of the nations, and it isn't anywhere in that genre. Although megalomaniacs who have ruled in that area of the world have attempted to say that it once again would arise to that status. In fact, in history, it's kind of interesting that once a nation falls to second tier, it never regains its dominance, which is kind of an interesting thing when you look at the U.S. now being surpassed by the GNP of China. Let's go back to the phone lines. Dr. Ray, he's in Washington, listening on KARI. Hi, Ray.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Nice weather out here today. What I'm wondering is, why did God create man when he had two-thirds of the angels to be companions with?
Well, he didn't need the angels. He was completely self-sufficient in a perfect love relationship for all eternity and from all eternity, because as we see in the scripture, the Father loves the Son from all eternity. So he was completely fulfilled as God within the interpersonal relationships from a Trinitarian standpoint. And your question, though, I think is a very relevant question, because David asked that self-same question. He said, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, what is humanity that you're mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you care for him?" So it is absolutely a function of his unbounding grace. It is a sheer gift. It is a function of his love that he has created us. And we cannot fathom why God would love us so much, but he does. In fact, the Bible bears eloquent testimony to the fact that God was willing to do all so that we could be reconciled to him for time and for eternity. So we can revel in his love. We cannot fully explain it.
Okay. Well, that sounds right.
Ooh. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jim. He's listening in Kansas on Bot Radio. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Hank.
Your question.
Yes, Hank. First of all, I'd like to say I'm a really big fan of your station, and I listen to you every day after work on the drive home, and it's very enlightening. And I've noticed over the last week or so that a lot of people have called in on trying to know or try to comprehend the concept of the Trinity. And I've always looked at it like this. Like, if you were to look up at the solar sun, and even though you can see it, and we will we'll assume that it's just like, that's God, analogy of God, okay? And then the light that comes down would be equivalent to Jesus, that he'd be the light, and that the solar rays or the heat would be like the Holy Spirit, the power of the sun. So even though you have three individual things going on here, it's all one deal. And that's the best way I can explain it to people, if that helps any.
Well, you know, you're involved in an enterprise that I was involved in for a number of years when I became a Christian, and that is to try to find an analogy that fits Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. And I can tell you, after many years of trying, I finally gave up because I always ran into a problem. All analogies ultimately break down when it comes to the Trinity. In fact, as I mentioned to a previous caller, I have to ultimately, with great humility, say that God is incomprehensible, that he's infinite. I am but finite, and I cannot comprehend him, nor can I comprehend his nature as expressed to me in the pages of Scripture. So instead, what I do is I bow my knee before his self-revelation, and I thank him for it, and I apprehend it, and I explain what I apprehend to people, but I cannot comprehend it. Can also add, as I did to a previous caller, though it's incomprehensible, it is not illogical. Again, to say that there's one God revealed in three persons, or one what in three whos, eternally distinct, is something that is taught in Scripture. I can apprehend it. I simply cannot comprehend it. I will add one other thing to that, and that is, in the entirety of my existence in eternity, I will not fully comprehend the God who condescended to create me by his grace, and that loves me and that redeemed me. I'll be thankful for it. I will learn and grow in my understanding, but I will never fully comprehend an infinite God. I simply bow my knee before his throne of grace. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be right back here, Lord willing, tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In the meantime, thanks for your prayers. Thanks for your support. Deeply appreciated.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bill Nye, the Science Guy, professes, "I'm insignificant. I'm just a speck of sand. And the Earth is another speck. The Sun is another speck, and the galaxy another speck. I'm just a speck on a speck orbiting a speck among other specks in the middle of specklessness. I suck." Well, far from being insignificant, what the scientific evidence really suggests is that human life is the intended outcome of exquisitely fine-tuned parameters in the physics and chemistry of our universe. All this is explained in Discovery Institute's documentary film, Privileged Species: How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to help equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment
Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Jihadists fighting for the Islamic State have been committing a range of systematic abuses, including mass executions, rape, seizing of property, and the destruction of churches and mosques. While ISIS claims that they are simply obeying Allah and Muhammad, many Westerners and Muslims maintain that such atrocities are strictly forbidden in Islam. Who is right? Other topics include Paul, Second Adam, and theistic evolution, unpacking anime's spiritual depth, what has art to do with evangelism, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.